Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Good morning, everybody. It is always a blessing to be up here speaking about, just in general, sharing Jesus with you. And I know it's only my second time being up here, but each time has been a blessing. So I want to keep this going. Just those last two songs alone, that really puts things in the perspective that we're going to be talking about and looking at tonight, with God reigning, God being supreme, God is in control. And when we keep that type of thought in mind, life becomes a little more livable. It becomes a lot more tolerable, no matter what situations we are living in. A scenario I can think of to probably show this is that there's two neighbors that they are very avid gardeners, very proud of the gardens that they curated, that they put their life and their soul and their blood and sweat and tears into growing, and it just becomes exactly what they expect it to be. The plants are growing, flowers are thriving, fruits are rich with flavor, and it's just exactly what they wanted. But a random storm just comes and just destroys and demolishes everything. All of their hard work has basically been brought to rubble, and they can't make ends meet with it. With one neighbor just like completely looking at it and defeated. It's like all of that wasted work. The other neighbor, however, sees it as another opportunity to continue growing. It's a new opportunity to replant and regrow. And the one defeated neighbor comes up to him and is like, "Why? What's the point? Why bother? It was just going to be destroyed again." And look at these other neighbors. They were able to keep safe and sound. And like, why? What's the difference? Why were they able to be protected? And yet ours is now destroyed. The other guy just simply responds, "But look at all of this new places that we can grow. We can plant here. These fallen rubble can be used for new vines to be grown across." And it's just completely a new opportunity to grow and to thrive. Same situation, different scenario. All comes down to the proper perspective on how it's viewed. When I was in the military, the main thing that I remember, and mainly because it was very drilled into me because of all of the mistakes that were made, is that perception is reality. If I was caught sleeping, if I was just caught with my eyes closed for longer than a second, it looked like that I was sleeping and I was getting yelled at and I had to go run around a couple laps. It was a horrible time, so you got to make sure you blink and open right away just so no one thought you were sleeping. But sadly, that's the same truth that we live today, is that perception that we see can leave us in a discouraged state instead of finding it in the perception that God wants us to have. And that perception is God's. Our passage today comes from Philippians 1, 12 through 18. Reading from it, Paul is writing to the Philippians to the church in Philippi as he is arrested, as he's under house arrest because of his own mission to share the gospel, and this is just the result that he had to deal with for the time. And he writes them, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest of my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." We see that Paul is dealing with a lot of persecution and just his own effort in trying to share the gospel. And it's not just the stuff that's happening to him directly, but it's the people that are supposed to be his friends, his colleagues, that are trying to take advantage of the situation, that while he's out of the picture now, they can swoop in and get more people under their flock, or whatever their goal is not necessarily motivated by the rights to share Jesus. But Paul doesn't see it that way. Paul just cares that Jesus is being shared. which there's a lot of internal conflict I'm sure he's dealing with. But all of that's resolved and curated because his perception is on the mission, on Jesus. Is he being shared? Which, that's keeping our proper perspective, it keeps us on task and on target when facing those difficult circumstances, whatever those may be. Paul, though he was in jail, his freedom being taken from him, he can't go where he wanted to do. He thought he went on a specific mission, but things changed. And he had every right to just take that defeatist approach. His garden was destroyed, so what's the point of moving on? But he took it as a different way. He looked at it as another opportunity to share with those who were with him. It's one of those things, is like, was he stuck with them or were they stuck with him? Depends on how you look at it. And it may not... Think of it as just like it's a river flowing. You have a particular mission that river is going down. It's starting up the mountain. It's going to get to the ocean. A boulder gets rolled into its way. The river doesn't just stop all the time. There are certain things called dams, but naturally occurring. It will just flow around. And those dams have to be pretty well built to make sure that there's no way for that river to go around. But in this case, it's just going to flow where it's going to go. Path of least resistance, and that's all that the river's mission is focused on. I'm going to get to that end goal. That boulder is just our bad situation, our temporary setback. We could be stuck behind it or find a way around it. We could look to where God is wanting to use us to find that alternative route. And maybe that alternative route becomes the actual reason why it's there in the first place. A roadblock can just turn into a reroute. Let's look at it from this angle. Let's go that side of it. Because at some point, that big boulder that the river is flowing around becomes smaller and smaller and smaller just through natural erosion. It becomes not as big as originally thought. And that's what God does for us. Our bad situations, when we look at it from his perspective, becomes a little bit of smaller, a little bit, just a pebble compared to the boulder we thought it was. It's not always an easy task to do that on our own, if at all possible. Many times we can't see the pebble for that boulder that's in front of us. But when we give our lives to Jesus, when we give our whole life to the mission that God put before us, that's where we're able to be transformed by him. That transformation then gives us the opportunity to see the new perspective. And it's not an immediate transformation either. It's one that takes time, that takes patience on our part, and takes decided actions to attempt that new perspective. You're not going to be able to do it first try. There's many people older than me that are still working at it, and even I'm still working at it. I am nowhere near perfected at it. You can ask my wife on that one. She constantly is reminding me. It's like, are you sure you're looking at it that the right way? And I'm like, yeah. 2 weeks later, I won't tell her otherwise. But it's easy to see how difficult. Let me back up a little bit. That's basically where we know from Romans 8:28 that all things work together for his good. So the bad situation can be, we can keep our small perspective on the bad situation, or we could attempt to look at it from his angle. And that takes work and that takes time. But it's not always easy to see the good in the difficult. And in fact, I would even say that it's rather sadistic to say, oh, this bad situation is really good. It's like, you've got some problems. But they could just have a different perspective. And that's exactly what Paul is dealing with here. And that's exactly what we are also dealing with. Because sharing the gospel is not just words, it's actions. How we live our lives, the decisions we make, how we respond to bad situations, or how we respond to the not ideal. People are watching that. And when they see that we're not responding in the typical human way, whether it be anger, depression, or be anger for something that does not go our way, or somebody who's out to get us, or if it's depression for a bad situation that we just can't seem to get over, if we respond in any way other than that, especially if we seem to be happy that bad things are happening, people start asking questions like, what makes him so special? What makes her so special? Why are they able to just take this in stride and keep walking? It's like, and opens a perfect opportunity to say, well, it's not just me, it's Jesus. He entered our life, he entered my life, and has given a way to perceive this world differently. And that's all that he is wanting. He is wanting all of our attention. He is wanting all of our focus. He is wanting our strength and our minds and our wills, not just to praise him in the good, but to praise him in the rough and to praise him in the bad. The ups and downs, the lefts and rights, our focus is on him. Our focus is on the mission he gave to us, and that's how we get through not just our plan working out right, but through everything, especially when it doesn't work out the way we expected. And it's not always a comforting thing to think. It's like, oh, there's a reason for this bad thing to happen. Oh, there's a reason that I can't pay rent this month, or there's a reason why I'm not getting the money I deserve, or there's a reason why the random hospital visit happens. But that doesn't change the fact that it still happened and it's still tough to live with. So I'm not trying to give a false sense of encouragement saying that it's like, oh, there's a reason for the bad thing. Just look for that. It's like, well, the comfort is not that there's a reason. The comfort is knowing that he is with us. He didn't abandon us because something bad happened. He is with us through the bad, and finding him in the bad is the true comfort. And hopefully, you have people in your life, whether they be family, friends, a church, of people who you can reach out to that can offer that support, that can offer that means of reevaluating your perception. But sometimes you don't have that type of support system. And in fact, like Paul, you have people that are looking to take advantage of it. And that makes the situation that much worse. But bless you. But those people, despite them being there, we are still able, and with the proper perspective, are able to still stay on task and on target despite the difficult people. And sometimes it's the motivation that we fixate on that defines the difficult person. Like how with Paul was saying, like in verses 15 through 17, was saying that, yeah, I know that they're there. I know that they're sharing Jesus because they're looking to take advantage, or they're envious of the people who are following my words, or they're just looking for more people to follow them. But he didn't care because they were still sharing Jesus. And that's what he fixated on. He could have spent time dissecting their motivation, saying it's like, oh, look how horrible that person is because he's just out for himself. It doesn't matter that he's talking about Jesus. He's out for himself. But he flipped that. He said, yes, he's out for himself, but he's still sharing Jesus with the people who need to hear. So not being so fixated on the motive, looking at the end goal, looking at what the purpose of what they're doing, that really helps to not just understand the person, but maybe even to build a relationship with them. Looking at certain ways that people can be motivated, there could be an empty plot of land in this neighborhood. Like, not much, just maybe half acre, doesn't matter. There's some good souls out there that see this and they want to make it an opportunity to improve the neighborhood. That's righteous, that's virtuous, but they don't have the capital in order to do it. So they reach out to this investor who says, oh yeah, that's a great idea. I can make a profit off of this by helping you. So he's in it for the profit. They're in it for the virtue of helping the neighbor. What does it matter if that plot of land still gets developed, still gets purchased, and is now a blessing to the neighborhood? Sure, one may have profited from it, but the end goal is still the fact that that land is now curated to now everybody benefits from as well. So is the motivation really that critical to to stop that investor because he was in it for the wrong means? Not particularly in that illustration, nor in the case for Paul. Sure, they were in it for himself, but people were hearing about Jesus. People were still being exposed to him. Another more personal example on this one is that I work in IT. Yeah, I'm not going to fix your printer, but I do work in IT, and we get a lot of calls saying that we got to fix some things. And it's always an important thing when that one executive can't get their email, or that one person is just somehow not able to get to TikTok. Everything, you have to drop everything and you have to help fix that person's problem. They are calling me out of the motivation to get the problem fixed. I'm fixing their problem to get them off the phone as fast as possible. Doesn't matter, really, because the problem still gets fixed. Sure, I may be a little bit impatient, and I'm working on that. Like I said, I'm not perfect. But the problem still gets fixed. They still move about their way, setting up their emails, watching their TikToks, their YouTubes, or whatever it is they're doing other than not working. I don't judge. And they get off the phone. So I'm happy. They're happy. Everyone's happy. It's about the goal that matters. Why are we here? What's that mission? Paul didn't care about the Yelp reviews that he was getting. He was caring about Jesus being shared. He didn't care who was doing it or why was doing it. They were being told about Jesus. Proper perspective helps dealing with difficult people. Time can be lost and so much energy wasted when just dissecting the motivation instead of looking at to the end goal as far as what is being done, what is actually being accomplished. Admittedly, this is a very slippery slope when it comes to the term the ends justify the means. I'm not justifying anything illegal. I have complete I completely blanked on that word. I am not incriminating myself for anything. It's all in you guys. But what I am saying is that it needs to be under the proper perspective. You're able to see the goal. You're able to see what God wants from it. And then that becomes the focus. Paul didn't care about the selfish preachers motivated by the rivalry or the enviousness of him, because he was completely focused on Jesus. So long as people were talking about Jesus, they were building a relationship with him, Paul was content. And we could argue over those subjective motivations, or we also can celebrate and rejoice that the gospel is being spread. And even more importantly, sure, we might be looking for people to support us in our hard times, but I would challenge you to say that maybe those difficult people in your life are there because they need your support. Maybe they are having the tough time that they can't find that perspective that only Jesus can give them. And God put them in your life so you can help them in that means. So while others should support us, we likewise have to support others. Some advice that was given to me in my younger days. I'm younger than I am now. Tell my body, but anyways. Some advice that was given to me was that when I was ever dealing with some difficult people, I'd always come like in, especially when I was in high school, always that awkward social ability that I had then, probably not much improved now, but then it was much worse. And I was always dealing with those difficult teachers, didn't know how to handle it. They kept telling me I was wrong, but I was keep telling them I was right, and I was getting in trouble for that. And either way, point being, I didn't know how to handle that situation. I had a lot of trouble knowing that difficult person in my life was just making it much worse. So the advice that was given to me, pray for them. That'll fix them. And looking back on that, it may fix them. God may be working behind the scenes in their life. But more importantly, what that would do is change my perspective on them. Because if I am honestly and truly praying for them, can I also view them in a negative light? Can I also think of them negatively when at the same time I'm praying for their benefit? So maybe the transformation is happening in them, but more importantly, it's your perspective that's being transformed through God's influence. You could stress, you could worry, you could over-concern yourself about others' responses or others' actions and others' motivations, or you could simply just pray for them, and that'll fix you. And that's also another way that God keeps us in the proper perspective with our own difficult emotions. In verse 18, Paul accepted those motivations of others, not because he said it was okay that they were doing regardless of it, but it was because God, Jesus, was being shared. He says, "What then, in that only every way Christ is proclaimed? And in that I rejoice." He didn't fixate on those motivations. He didn't fixate on what, on how something was really being done, other than that it was being done and people were learning, people were being exposed. That was his purpose. That was what he was here for. And honestly, that's what we're here for too. Paul didn't see his being under house arrest as a defeat. He didn't let that keep him from why he was there, nor did he let that stop, or should I say, that did not entice him then to be overcritical of what other people were doing either. It just was another opportunity for him to do what he already was wanting to do anyways, just a different scenario. So we could be distracted by our selfish wants and desires, or even trying to outdo others, however that might look. But by doing so, Jesus' mission is missed for us. We could be those that are blessed with the ability to always bring Jesus in a very explicit and direct way when people are suffering. Or we could be more akin to just living what we know of Jesus in our tough times to be the example for others as to how an alternative can look. So focusing on how well the individual is doing, focusing on how well other people are doing off changes the mission from an exercise in pride to one that is how God can use you no matter what situation you find yourself in. And just because you're following him, it doesn't guarantee that you will not have any difficult circumstances. And if anything, it's the opposite. That's right. Jesus also says that if you follow me, you will have a tough time. You will face the difficulties. But he doesn't say that as like an empty threat or some looming concern that we always need to have, because he also clarifies it in saying that to take heart, he already beat the world. He already conquered it. So we can go into our tough time with the confidence knowing that Jesus is at the other side of it waiting for us. And we take that opportunity then to also share with others to help encourage them through their tough time. Jesus is waiting at the other end for them if they're willing to accept it. So our difficult times can be a transformative to show despite circumstances, we know that Jesus never leaves us. We could be stuck in our personal perspectives, missing the opportunity that God presents us. Another personal example on this one, which I just, it's always comforting, is that one day from driving to work, it was a very bad traffic day. I'm sure you all experienced something like that, which I feel sorry for you, but we've all experienced that horrible traffic. People just aren't moving. It's as if they don't know where they're going, but they are definitely in no hurry to get there. I'm trying to get to work behind all these slow people, just having the worst time I could think of. But then it dawned on me, why? Why am I so frustrated that I can't get to work? All that's waiting for me there is just an endless list of things to do, people adding more things to do, all those phone calls of videos not working, emails not coming through. Why am I in a hurry to get there? That traffic then became an opportunity for me just to breathe, relax, changing the perspective of this traffic, keeping me from where I thought I wanted to go, turned into the blessing that God provided an opportunity to just breathe and relax. I'm sure we all could use something like that. I don't recommend getting stuck in traffic because that's a tough challenge. Like, only through God was I able to come to that. But he could do the same for you. Changing how situations are perceived changes how we respond to it. Just like in that traffic, yes, I could be still stuck in my perception of needing to get to work, and I would have just been more miserable for it. So instead of being using that time to calm myself, I just show up to a stressful environment, even more stress, which just adds to it and makes things even far worse than it needed to be. And it would have been all my fault. Or take the time to breathe and then be ready for what God has ready for me there. And difficult people are just as hard. I'm sure we all have those people in our lives, that one person in our lives that we just like, oh, why are they there? Well, you could think of it like that. Or changing the proper perspective to pray for them, and that'll fix them. That'll fix you. Now, instead of dreading that miserable interaction, you could turn it into an opportunity to see, how can I be a blessing for them? They may not accept it at first, but over time you'll wear down that wall brick by brick and likely find why God has them in your life and why God has you in their life. Losing focus on him means that the focus then turns to us. That perspective that should be on him is now only on what we want, only on what we think that we deserve, and it's always going to be not as good as what he has for us. What we think we wanted pales in comparison to the blessings that he has in store, so long as we are just obedient to what he calls us to do. And through that obedience, we are also able to find the strength to endure. Keeping that proper perspective solely focused on Jesus means that that phrase, I can't, does not exist. In Philippians 4:13, Paul talks about that, in that no matter the tough situation that he had, he was able to do it through Jesus. He knew what it meant to go hungry because he was fed with Jesus. He knew what it meant to survive miserable circumstances because he found comfort in knowing that he was not alone. And it gave encouragement for those around him. It gave encouragement for those not necessarily in his immediate vicinity, but others that heard of his circumstances were also encouraged. And that in turn encouraged him. But it was through Jesus that he was able to find that strength, to find that perspective, to find that ability to look beyond himself and to look to how God can still use him no matter where he's at. And he could do the same for you. Second Corinthians 5:15 reads, he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. Being a Christian, being born again, means that we are no longer ourselves. We no longer have the luxury of living through our own perspectives or through what we want, because we are now his. He bought us with a price, and that price is now ours to give to him in our lives as a sacrifice to him. Being stuck in our perspectives, being stuck in our world, keeps us from that purpose. So Paul, though he was in prison for Jesus, and others looking to take advantage of that for their own benefit, he still found the way to to be happy that others were still hearing about Jesus. He was still able to see that despite the mission not being completed by him, it was still being completed by others. And he was blessed with a new scenario. He was blessed with a new situation to just do his mission in a place he never thought he could. Because, I mean, this was a whole Roman legionnaire that he was able to talk with. He said himself, he was able to share with the guards, share with the legions, Would they have heard otherwise if he was not arrested? Would those around you hear otherwise if they don't have you in your lives? Now, it may be safe to say you've never been arrested, but again, I don't judge. God changes. God loves you all. But it's also safe to say that we probably never lived the perfectly peaceful life or one of a lap of luxury. We all have our difficult times, and I can't say who had more difficulty than others. That's not the purpose. That's not the point of this. It's not a contest. But I can't say that we've all survived, because I see you all here. There's a reason why you're still here. There's a reason why you survived that tough time. And likely it's because God has a reason. God has a reason. It's a matter of changing your perspective to find what God wants for you on that. So it's not a call here to change your life, but it's a call to remember to see how we need to see the world through God's perspective and not ours. For those of us who already know Him, let us remember how and where we can be encouragements to others to help them refocus. And let us, the church team here at Winton, let us know how we can encourage you as well, so you can keep your focus as well. And for those who don't know Him, please don't let this be that this opportunity pass to know what He can do, what peace He can bring for you. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Rob. I would like to ask Stanley, if it's okay, would you and maybe one other deacon come and stand with Rob this morning? And as Rob just finished speaking, he said, don't let this opportunity this morning pass without knowing the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay the penalty for our sins and to purchase a place for us in heaven that He offers as a free gift. Now, you can make a decision right where you're at. Nobody has to even know that. But yet, with decisions made that maybe you've been struggling to make when it comes to Christ, maybe it comes to needing prayer, action can't be taken and accountability can't be given unless we let that be known. And it's an opportune time this morning to let it be known. If you would like prayer, come forward, talk to Rob, to Stanley, and others to pray with you. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave sanctuary. Don't leave God's house without that opportunity getting by you, going, I kind of wish I had let somebody know what I'm struggling with. We're not looking for secrets. We're looking to simply have you understand that in sharing what you're going through, you have people to encourage you, to inspire you, to pray with you. That decision could very well be you've committed your life to Jesus Christ, and you want that to be known. Many have been doing that lately. This is an opportunity. It could be you want to be baptized, like those last Sunday. Come forward this morning and just let us know. We won't keep you, but just let us know, because that cross represents what He's done on your behalf. And He's simply asking you to respond. We're going to sing a verse and a chorus of what He's done. And should you have a decision to be made, Lord, please come as we sing. continue praising God for what he's done. Thank you. And Father, this morning we're grateful for the opportunity we've had to worship you, to come before you together. Thank you for your servant Rob. Thank you for his heart and your truth that he shares. I pray that we will glean great nuggets of truth that he shared from your word and his perspective as well, and his experience in walking with you, that we can apply into our life this week. Lord, I pray you will bless each of us as we go, and may we be blessed because we're looking to you first and foremost as we go, to be used by you in our sphere of influence as we enter a new week of those we will encounter. And as Rob shared, may we be ready to share the gospel of Christ to those who ask. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Come and say hello to Rob, if you would, and have a great day.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.